Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Project MedTech. I'm your host, Dwayne Mancini. As always, if you need anything from the podcast or would like to suggest a future guest, please email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can always visit our website, www.projectmedtech.com, or follow us on LinkedIn. This is another episode of MedTech Money powered by Project MedTech. This is a special series by Project MedTech where we have partnered with Mr. MedTech himself, Giovanni Loricella, in a series of podcast episodes focusing on money in the MedTech space. Giovanni's guest today is Yaron Simes from BOM Brabant Ventures. In this episode, Giovanni and Yaron discuss what does BOM stand for, their investment strategy, their geographical focus, MedTech in the Netherlands, and more. So without further ado, Giovanni's discussion with Yaron.
Medical innovation starts with medical discussion. Talking about the future, what comes next with
Yaron, thank you very much for being with us. And this is MedTech Money podcast series powered by Project MedTech and sponsored by Lifeblood Capital. And I wanted to say thank you for joining us. But the reason why we're here is because I've talked to thousands of MedTech entrepreneurs and investors around the world. And what I've discovered is that there's no silver bullet or specific formula about how to raise or invest capital in MedTech. So my goal here was to extract insights and anecdotal stories from entrepreneurs and investors like yourself, so we could help those who can benefit from this information and for generations of professionals and entrepreneurs and investors to come. And so what I thought this audience is likely going to be is a mixture of experts and novices in our industry. However, I wanted to extract your stories, insights, advice, so that we could share with what I imagine is the first-time founder or CEO and has no clue on what lies ahead of their journey of raising capital. And I thought the best place to start is from learning from experienced professionals like yourself. And the reason why, Yaron, I wanted you to be on this podcast and so we can have a great discussion is to really understand, and we'll get into not only your background, but what BOM is, the understanding of what it's like to have a very geographically focused venture capital firm in Europe and some of those restraints, limitations, but also focal points of what that venture capital firm and its purpose are. So we'll get into that. Before we do any of that, I wanted to start with two open-ended questions just to kind of keep our audience engaged and learning a little bit more about who you are, what you are, and how you think. The first one is, do you believe that people and money are the lifeblood of a med tech startup? Why or why not? And am I missing anything else important?
Thanks, Giovanni, for this nice introduction and giving me the floor to tell my story, the story of BOM and how we look into the med tech domain. So thanks for that. Yes, of course, people and money, I think, are of really importance for a medtech company. And I would like to address that the team should be on number one, since when you don't have a great team, you never would like or would get a great product to market, is my opinion. And without the money, of course, even the same. But that said, I think a third one I would like to add to this is the ability to make an impact with your company and your product or service offering. And what I do mean with impact is, can you make it with your product more affordable to the system, to the healthcare system? Can you offer a product that will, for patients, result in really large benefits? So can you address an unmet medical need? And I think nowadays, not only from a market perspective, but also investors, but even the LPs behind the investors have increased focus on the impact side of a investment. And I think that's really important to have, keep that in mind besides people and money, to make an impact with your company, with your product and everything you do.
That's a good point. And I like the fact that you actually use that word impact. And I would like to actually expand upon that. We'll get into that a little bit later. So thank you for bringing up that third variable. My second question for you is, if you knew what you know now about being a med tech investor and how you've built your career to get to where you are today, would you do it all over again? Why or why not? Or what would you do differently?
The simple answer is absolutely, I will do it over again. And would I do anything else? If I knew what I knew today, the only thing I could say is that I have made the step towards investing in medtech maybe much more early in my career instead of doing it later. And maybe I can explain a little bit. I started at BOM 8 years ago. And by chance, I came as an investment professional within the medtech domain. So if I knew before how interesting this domain is, what impact you can make with the investments, I would have done it much more in an early stage of my career. So yes, that's my my answer.
Good. Very good. And so without further ado, for those who are listening right now, Yaron, tell us who you are, a little bit about yourself, and then ultimately how you got to be the investment manager over at BOM, and then we'll get into who and what is BOM.
Yes, good, I can do. As you already mentioned, my name is Jeroen, working since 2014 for BOM Brabant Ventures. We're a regional focused investment firm, but I will explain later on during our discussion. I have a financial background by training, studied business economics and worked afterwards in the mergers and acquisitions, especially for private equity firms in the Netherlands and listed companies, also mainly Dutch based companies. Did a lot of transactions and then mainly in the domain of financial due diligence, both buy side and sell side. And private equity, I think it's really an interesting domain. But what I missed during those days is really interaction with companies, building together a company instead of providing finance and help to grow a company more from a financial perspective than really with in-depth and hands-on service providing to those companies. And that's something, especially in the venture capital domain, much more what you do in the daily business. And that's what I really liked. And that was for me the reason to make the step towards venture capital. And not on the advisor side, but really in an investment firm.
And that led you to being at BOM today. And like you mentioned, you've been there for 8 years. So tell us, what is BOM? What does BOM stand for, even in depth? And then tell us what they do with medtech, without medtech, how they're structured, just so we get some really good context.
I can. BOM, it's in a Dutch abbreviation for Brabants Ontwikkelingsmaatschappij, and it means something like the Brabant Development Agency. And Brabant is a province in the southern part of the Netherlands. I think the most well-known city is Eindhoven. Philips is located there, but also other large companies like ASML, for example. And what BOM is, as mentioned, it's a development agency, but we do a lot of activities, of course, investing. I will elaborate a little more on that later on. But what we do is we assist companies who are based in our region or those companies who are willing to relocate to our region. And we do that with several different departments within BOM. We have focused on international companies to attract them and assist them to move to the Netherlands and especially to our region. So that's our international foreign investments. So foreign investments is focusing on international companies to attract those companies to the region. And I think one of the nice examples is Tesla. who do a lot of the manufacturing in our region. Another department within BOM, it's also an investment provider, is the renewable energy department, especially focusing on renewable projects, renewable energy projects, so wind parks, sun parks, such kinds of things. Thirdly, we've also focused on helping the companies in our region to broaden the scope and to go outside, especially outside of the Netherlands and outside of Europe. So that's our trade department. Thirdly, we have the ecosystem part of BOM. Those are helping initiatives in really early stage. It can be kinds like things like a high-tech campus. We have the Pivot Park in our region. That's quite a big biotech hub. So they initiate and help to set up those kinds of initiatives. And yeah, finally, it's BOM Brabant Ventures. We are a combination of an investment firm together with hands-on support to companies with our business developers. And what we do is investing in highly innovative early stage companies in the region. And we do it with four different teams, focused on soft tech, high tech systems, materials, and agriculture. And the fourth department is life science and medtech. And I'm in the life science and medtech team as an investment manager, especially focusing on medtech companies in our region. And we invest as of the early seed stage towards Series A. I think that's where our power and knowledge is. And of course, also in later rounds, we will join, but as a minority shareholder and investor. But really in the early stage, we can act like co-lead or lead investor, and we really help companies to attract and financing, to set up syndicates, and to bring the company towards a Series A financing round. And that's where we are good in and what we love to do.
And to make it clear then, so BOM only invests in companies that are physically based or headquartered rather in Brabant.
I think in the end, 90 to 95% of our portfolio consists of companies located in our region, and a minor part, 5 to 10%, I think, of capital invested is in companies outside of our region, but there should still be quite a strong link to our region. And that can be that the production is done here, R&D is done together with partners in the region, but that should be really substantial compared also to our investment in a company. So yes, we can invest in companies outside of our region, but normally we prefer to invest in the companies who are in our region. And we also, yeah, as I said, with our different departments within BOM, we can also assist them to relocate or to start a subsidiary here in the region.
And the LPs, how does that look for BOM? I mean, is it something that only comes from the Netherlands and that's why it's a very Dutch-focused organization?
Yeah, we have two LPs. It's the Dutch government and the province of Noord-Brabant. And since the province of Noord-Brabant is one of the largest LPs in our different funds, that's the reason we have a really regional focus. And that's something you see more in the Netherlands. A lot of regions have their own development agencies with money from the province.
So is it fair to categorize BOM as almost a acting like a private investor, but an arm of a governmental or sovereign fund, if you will?
Yeah, I think you can bring it that way. But in the end, we always invest together with private investment funds. So we act like a normal market party, but with a slightly different structure than you might know from the private investors in the market.
So what, on that point, what differentiates how BOM is structured, especially coming from that sovereign LP into the fund versus a traditional 100% privatized venture capital firm? What are some of those differences?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think one really important factor that is different at our side than at most market funds is that we can invest really early stage. So from pre-seed, seed phase, and in medtech that that would match with companies preclinical. So that's quite early stage, and a lot of funds in the market are moving towards companies who already have products on market or have at least FDA or CE mark on the products. Since we have a fund, it's not really evergreen, but it runs for 25 years. We can invest quite early stage, and we have somewhat less exit pressure from a timing perspective, since our fund has not to be finalized after 10 years. So I think that's really an important factor. And secondly, of course, we have to make a return, but we can also invest. And that's links back to my previous remark, what's important for company impact. That's also something we focus on, and impact is even more important than financial returns. Still, we have to make a financial return, but it can be somewhat less than you see with market funds. So I think those two things are really important. And thirdly, we have, as mentioned before, business developers also in our teams. We can really assist companies pre-investment already to build a business case, to validate the business case, to assist them to find sufficient financing for the stage they are in. So I think those three things really differs from what you see with a lot of private funds in the market.
And like you and I were talking a little bit prior to this podcast right now, is that BOM almost acts as though it's an accelerator and venture capital firm, likely leaning more towards VC, but has that accelerator feeling to it as well.
Yeah, that's correctly. So as I mentioned also to you, we do not provide housing or full-time dedicated programs to those companies, but we assist them much more than only providing cash. And especially those early stage companies can really benefit from the knowledge we have in-house with our business developers.
And the inverse relationship of, for example, when you have a fund, a private fund that's dedicated to life science, or even maybe more specifically only to med tech. Sometimes, depending if they're a late stage growth capital fund or maybe even an earlier stage fund, if they're that focused and they're private, they typically have to look wide in terms of geography. And then the inverse of that is if you look very narrowly at a certain geography, oftentimes you have to look in other industries, not just be industry focused. So BOM being focused in Brabant in the southern province of the Netherlands, we know, well, at least for this podcast, those listening, Eindhoven is a very well-known hub of innovation specific to medtech as well. Is that the reason why BOM has to focus on a multi-industry platform rather than only for medtech or only for agriculture? Because they're looking at a very specific geographic region?
Before BOM started, and especially our latest fund, the Innovation Fund, which started end 2013, beginning 2014, we did a mapping of the province. What are the core strengths? Where would we like, together also with the vision of the province, to grow? And how can we accelerate? And that's the reason we identified those four focus areas: soft tech, agriculture, high tech systems, and the life science and medtech focus. So it's more from the strengths of the province than all the way around. So we really have a highly focused investment strategy, but in four different areas.
Out of those four different areas, then, to give context for what's happening in Brabant, which are the strengths? I mean, if those are the areas that you focused on because of their strength, is MedTech the highest one? And again, is MedTech a huge one within the southern region of the Netherlands, with Eindhoven specifically, and also the story of Philips, which really gave birth to a lot of these different startups? Or is agriculture heavier, or how does that feel?
No, I think the tech side of investments together with the soft tech also included, that are the main domains in which province has a lot of focus. So also from an agriculture domain, it's more ag tech than the more primary sector, as you would like to address it that way. So it's really tech-focused region, especially with the Eindhoven cluster / Brainport region. So I think everything related to tech, that's where the region is really good in. And when you divide the portfolio, I think the life science and medtech portfolio together with the high tech portfolio based on assets invested are the biggest two portfolios. And I think you can also relate it from a medical perspective, of course, to Philips. On the other hand, really life science, Organon was a really well-known party in the region, and the name is re-established since a couple of months again here in the region. And thirdly, I think with parties like ASML, but also the Technological University of Eindhoven, also at the chip development, Semicon is really an important sector in the region.
A couple of things. So last time I was in Eindhoven, I actually went to the Philips Museum. And so I finally got to see and understand the story of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think someone like yourself who lives there and is born and raised there probably could tell the story and actually the benefits of what Philips has done for the region better than I. So what is that history of Philips? I mean, when do they come? How do they grow? And then what has they done for the region to spark this tech innovation hub that exists now? How did that work?
Philips has been established more than 100 years ago in the Eindhoven region, and Philips in that sense was much more than only an employer to a lot of people. They really built around Eindhoven a community with people working for Philips, but also a lot of side activities, sports activities. I think one of the most well-known football clubs in the Netherlands is PSV, Philips Sportvereniging. It's something that comes out of Philips. So they provided the people besides work with a lot of additional activities. So they really built an ecosystem around Eindhoven, which attracts people not only from the Netherlands or the southern part of the Netherlands, but really later on also from Europe and currently worldwide. And I think what Philips did in the region to build really a tech ecosystem, and nowadays, part of Philips' activities have been moved to Amsterdam, especially headquarters, etc. But all R&D is still based here in the region, and they built an open campus years ago. It was quite closed, and you could not go in if you don't work for Philips. But currently, you have the high tech campus. It's really a vibrant environment with a lot of startups together with multinationals like Philips, for instance, but really tech focused companies on 1 square kilometer, I think. And when you look also to the number of patents filed in the Netherlands, but also worldwide, I think that's the region with the highest density of patents per square meter, to say it that way. So they really built an ecosystem, which is not only Philips these days, but I think Philips has really had an important role and was a really important factor in that, to establish that ecosystem in the Brainport region around Eindhoven.
And you mentioned Brainport a couple of times, also the High Tech Institute, or High Tech Campus rather, and then the Technical University of Eindhoven as well has a lot of innovation coming out of it. So you have Philips and that history that you just shared. You have, and before I continue, tell us a little bit about why these high-tech campuses were even thought of, or the Brainport, like you mentioned. I mean, that's quite unique. They don't exist in every country, right? So there was a reason why these high-tech campuses and Brainports existed, and all these resources and energy and focal points of, we're going to densify this small geographic region and create a lot of innovation. How did that even come to exist in the Netherlands?
A good question. I think the mentality here in the region is really to cooperate and to work together. One of our companies, it's a platform company also within the medical domain. And what they do, and that's due to the ecosystem here, everyone is open to help other companies and especially early stage companies. And they source 95% of their components, for instance, in the region Eindhoven. And there's a lot of knowledge, experience, and that's not only due to Philips, but also, for example, to ASML, the semicon company. And a lot of companies do also deliver the goods to ASML and Philips. So that should be really high standards, really high-end products. And all those knowledge is still here in the region. And those companies work a lot together, but also open to share the knowledge, the production facilities, production plans, etc., to the really early stage companies to also facilitate them with really high-end products, low volume, and yeah, at good prices, to say it that way. So a lot of companies here in the region benefit from the ecosystem, and instead of sourcing products in Asia, they can do it here in the region at favorable terms, low volume. And that is an ecosystem I don't think you find anywhere else in the Netherlands or worldwide. So the willingness to help each other, and yeah, I think you can, if you would like to describe Brabant, it's quite a large province, but it's more like a small village where everybody knows each other and is willing to work for each other and to fight for each other. And that's what you really see here in the region.
So that combination of Philips and its history, the culture like you just described, and then these other high-tech campuses and brain ports, like you mentioned, that are uniquely created. Clearly, even though BOM is very regionally focused, there's a reason why that you guys exist, is because clearly there's a lot of things that are happening in this region, and it's quite a unique region within itself. So I wanted to ask you this question, is it hard to be that geographically focused as a venture firm at this point? But it sounds like because of this ecosystem that you just described, there's a lot of things going on. So I'll still ask the question, as a venture firm, even though all this innovation is happening in these various components, are you guys seeing a high level of deal flow, or is it almost like your best friends and next door neighbors where the next startup that pops up in the region, you're going to get in contact with that company anyway, simply because that's your job to help out or at least have conversation or steer it in the right direction?
No, I think our deal flow is every year again quite high, and year over year also the quality of the deal flow improves. So we have a lot of deal flow to pick out, and really good deal flow with great teams, even teams who do it for the second or third time. So, and that really helps also to grow the region. And for us, from an investor perspective, of course, it's still quite early stage, but the teams and the plans are really good. And from that sense, we have a lot of high potential companies to pick from. And on the other hand, besides people starting companies in the region, we see all more and more interest from companies outside of the region and outside of the Netherlands to move to this region, since there's a lot of highly educated technical people. The climate is good, and together also with a lot of medtech focused investors in the Netherlands and all kinds of government related non-dilutive funding for the early stage companies. I think the Netherlands, but especially Brabant, is really a good place for companies to be in and to grow the business.
So in a comparison, or I'll try, but in Israel, another small country, there's something called the Israeli Innovation Authority that works with very early stage companies and startups to get them off the ground, and oftentimes allowing them to just to get far enough where they might be investable by outside sources or outside capital. it sounds like BOM is somewhat similar, especially given that sovereign or national or political connection, right? Like you mentioned. Is that the reason why you stay so early on with companies? I mean, I know we just talked about Philips, been around for 100 plus years, quite a multinational global company at this point. And that's a unique Brabant Eindhoven story. But BOM, do you see the investments of companies sticking and growing and getting larger within that region as well? Is there another Philips that's up and coming or ASML within the medtech space? Or after a while, do they have to look outside of the Netherlands because that's how the ecosystem is building itself? Because that's how it works in Israel.
It differs. Of course, it's hard to mention the next Philips of ASML at this moment, but I think when I look in our portfolio, there are several companies. I would not like to say that they would become a company like Philips of ASML, since nowadays a lot of companies are bought by larger players in the field. But overall, we see more and more that research and development parts of the businesses we invest in still remain in the region after an acquisition, since I think of your opinion and also the buyers of our companies, that it's quite hard to copy a team who is quite successfully in the Netherlands with developing new products, etc., to relocate or to set up a new team in the US, for instance. So in most cases, we see that the activities still remain in the region. And that's, I think, a really good movement towards the future. And it helps the region to grow, but even to get more knowledge on deep tech and high tech propositions in the medical domain, but also in the other domains we focus on. So we see more and more that research teams still be in place after an acquisition here in the region.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Medtronic is a big player in the Netherlands as well, right? I mean, they have that Maastricht Research Center. Yep. And then also that acquisition, I'm losing the year right now, 14, 15, 13, something like that, when Sapiens was bought by Medtronic and they kept that R&D team in place, things like that. I mean, is that the typical nature that we see? So for example, BOM would come in, invest early on, bring it as far as it maturely could go, and maybe it goes through an acquisition, and then that R&D feeling stays there, even though it's now part of a larger structure of some multinational company.
Yeah, I think maybe the Sapiens, to mention that example, we have not been an investor in Sapiens, but nice to mention is the R&D activities have been stayed for several years in the Netherlands till Medtronic decided to quit with the Sapiens project. But the founder team of Sapiens, most people behind it started again with Salvia Bioelectronics, a neuromodulation company in which we invested quite early stage back in 2017. As a lead investor, we made a syndicate and recently, half a year ago, August 2020, they raised 26 million in the Series A round to further develop the product and to bring it to market. So I think also that's quite a good example of people starting again with a great team, making a great plan. We help them quite early stage with financing and to make that larger round happen. And I think that's one of the examples in which we showed where our strength and knowledge is and how we can assist companies.
And going back to that example of the Israeli Innovation Authority and that sovereign approach of getting involved in early stage companies, is it fair to say that the model wouldn't work if BOM was more like some other traditional VCs where they had to see clinical data first, or they had to only invest in companies that were going through clinical trials or just about to get regulatory clearance or approval? I mean, if you guys came in later stage and had to ignore the ability to invest in seed rounds or maybe Series A and that early stuff, would that model work with BOM or not really?
No, I don't think so. Especially quite the early stage, investors become more and more rare. And I think if Bonn doesn't exist, a lot of great ideas won't be financed, and that would never come to market. So I think I can say without Bonn, the amount of business activity in the early stage medtech domain will be much less than it's nowadays. And I think based on also when you look into our portfolio and the really large financing rounds we have closed and will be closed also in the coming period, I think a good example of that, in which you see that larger investors would like to attend when you have certain type of validation of the case, clinical or preclinical. And those companies would never reach that phase without the early stage financing we provide. And of course, together with other investors, but the number of really early stage investors in the Netherlands is quite low. So together with them, I think we make it happen.
And once again, going back to the sovereign approach, right? Because it's not a full privatized VC firm, meaning Bonn, is it okay, or do you have less pressure to have such aggressive terms on a term sheet when you're working with startups then? I mean, are you a little bit more fair because there's this impact style of investing versus how much can you get out of the deal? That private way versus the more governmental way, is that fair?
To a certain amount, I think, since in the end we will always invest together with in a syndicate with market parties, but what we're doing, and especially our legal counsel internally is involved to see if we can come in the Netherlands, and it's more and more used to a standard format for transaction documentation. So a standard shareholder agreement, a standard investment agreement, in which terms and conditions are really balanced and in line with what you might expect from an investor perspective, but also from an entrepreneurial view, to bring those together in really a good way that it's really balanced. And if it becomes a success, that everybody benefits from it. And I think that's really a thing we try to establish together also with some market parties, both investors, but also lawyers, to see if we can help the market, the entrepreneurs, but also the investors with a standard set of documentation, so that everybody knows on forehand what will be the terms and conditions and how can we make a success out of it with all parties together. So I think that's one of the roles we also fulfill in the market. But are we aggressive? No, but we still invest on market-based terms since we always invest together with market parties.
And you talk about syndicating. How does that work, once again, with a governmental style investment firm like Bonn? Are you constantly networking with other investors only within the Netherlands, or is it Europe-based, or is it globally based? I mean, when you're coming to the table about to make an investment in a company, are you bringing your partners that and relationships on the other investment sides, whether they're private or other sovereign funds? Is it European-based, Dutch-based, or global?
Yeah, it depends on the stage of the company, especially in the first rounds when it's really early stage investing. More or less all syndicates are with Dutch-based investors. But later on, and we have quite an extensive and good network as of Series A rounds, you see that also investors from other European countries are joining syndicates. Our portfolio currently is not in the States that we attract much investors from the US, but also there we have more and more contacts. But that's, of course, also together with the syndicate partners, we try to make the best syndicate for the States of the company. So what do we do to build a network? We have, I think, in general, two ways to do. On the one hand is, of course, visit network events. And I think the best one in that sense to visit is the MedTech Strategist in Dublin. based on the amount of parties involved there. I think all Western investors, Europe and the US are there. The same holds true for all innovative companies also visiting that event. And on the other hand, besides direct investments, we have also a fund-to-fund strategy. And that means that we invest also part of our funds in other venture capital and private equity firms. And on the one hand, that's of course from a return perspective, but more important also to attract additional financing to the region, in our opinion. And that's also what we see in practice. When you work together, when you are an LP in a fund, it becomes more easy to do deals together. And that's also a source of deal flow for the direct investment side. A lot of companies are spun out from universities and research institutes. In first instance, they have no location. And when you work together with funds and they have such kind of deal flow, can also help to attract those companies to our region. So I think those two things will help or helps to build great syndicates. So network and investing in other venture capital firms.
And you mentioned the LPs again, one the Dutch government and the other one being the province of Brabant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to how a typical private venture capital firm would have to go out and raise their own fund from other endowments or whatever it may be, you mentioned that you also had a 25-year horizon versus a 10-year. So not necessarily an evergreen, but almost kind of feels like one. 25 years is a long time. When you ever need money or need to raise your next fund, because you have those two LPs, is it just going and showing them, look at what we've accomplished over the past quarter century and we need to raise the next fund and here you go? Or is there ever a possible change for BOEM where you'll have to take additional LPs outside? Or is it going to strictly stay Dutch right now?
Yeah, based on the current situation, I will say the last, since it's quite difficult to mix really regional focused money together with money outside of the region. So yeah, how do you pick the investments? Which part of the money will you use? And yeah, how will that work out? I think that gives a lot of hassle and probably will not work out in a way you would like to see it. So I think our model to invest in the region with only the money of two LPs works really well. And yeah, we're in close contact with them. And yeah, they can see quite frequently how we invest, what impact we make with our investments, growth in people employed, a lot of patents filed, etc. So also for the power in the region, it really works our model, and I think you should not change it too much.
So I think to reiterate what you've been saying this whole time is this word impact. And now that we have a much clearer perspective, having hit all the different points of how the universities come together, the Philips story, your focal point, how your LPs play into that, keeping it very Dutch, but yet obviously bringing global resources back to the region. And obviously, given the fact that those four major areas of tech innovation, like you mentioned, are so strongly focused in this small region, it makes sense for you to stay geographically focused in the small region. But at the same time, it almost comes together like this perfect circle or this perfect ecosystem that functions very well together, which is, in fact, impact. You're making an impact on that specific region. So having that whole thing come together allows you to be such an impactful investor because it actually all fits together like a tongue and groove.
Yeah, I think that's really a good summary of what I told, and I couldn't say it better, I guess. So
Good. Well, I'm glad everyone's listening to that. So now we have a summary. My last couple of questions is really more towards specifically you, Jeroen. Having been an investor, once again, an impactful investor in a region, what drives you and why do you love being an investor? I mean, what's keeping you in this game?
Yeah, that's not really hard to answer. I think first of all, and that relates back to your first question, people and money, and not especially the money, but the people. So the people I work with every day, my colleagues, but also and mainly the people within the firms we have invested in. I think that gives me a lot of power, the drive, the passion of those people. Yeah, that's really that inspires me to do the work again, to help them and to help them on the topics they're less experienced in, to grow the companies and to bring products that will make an impact on the system and on patients, to bring those to the market and to assist and to help.
And my last question for you is, once again, this very interconnected ecosystem of the Southern Province in the Netherlands, Brabant. If a startup who's listening to this right now, who may have not known about BOM, or maybe they do, I mean, are you at this point so well known, meaning is BOM so well known and infiltrated into all this ecosystem that you're a natural first point of contact for any up and coming startup in the region? Or are there constant situations where you're running into startups that may have been around for a year or two, and for some reason they still didn't find out about you? And the reason why I'm asking this is, how does BOM connect with regional based startups, or how can they reach out to you if they don't know about you?
Yeah, if they don't know about us, then it become hard. But yeah, of course, I think in the end, almost every entrepreneur in the region knows BOM. And if they don't know it by themselves in first instance, then they will be in touch with us via employee in the network. So I think, do we know each entrepreneur in our domains in the region? I can say yes. So we know them. And if they don't find us, we will find them. And it can be with all kinds of tools, of course, our own network, databases, etc. So I don't think we miss any company here in the region. So, and if people would like to reach out to me, visit our website, www.bom.nl, and get in contact with us. And yeah, even companies outside of the region or outside of the Netherlands, if it makes sense to start your business here, please contact us.
And I could say in summary again, that's the power of regional focus investing and that impact that you're making, right? I mean, if everyone already knows about you, or they're 1 degree separation away or 2 degrees, that's quite powerful and obviously quite impactful. So Jeroen, I'd like to say thank you very much for your time, for your insights, for sharing how BOM and these governmental venture capital firms actually work and the impact that they make on their regions. Thank you very much for your time. This is MedTech Money, where we demystify raising capital. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you need anything from the podcast, you can always contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.